What's up?
We actually had proper intros today.
We do. What's going on?
Man, so we got a special live Saturday edition for ya. Had to do it today because this is when the man was available. I'm Cassandra Cousineau, your girl, the Sports Nisa, and he's Ramblin' Ralph Velez. You know him as a Mayweather Promotions ring announcer who's been busy lately, and we're going to talk about where he's been at. But we got a special guest today. He is, his YouTube channel, ES News, is responsible for what? A couple of million views and 800,000 or so subscribers. One of the pioneers of sports digital journalism. Without further ado, let me go get Ellie Sekbak. Where you at, man? Hold on, where you at? Here you go. Bring you in, bring him out.
How you guys What's doing? Up? Good morning.
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. You know, I talked to CC briefly about our experience in San Antonio, but I want to touch on that with you in a little bit. But, dude, first things first, major news, man, popping up everywhere. I'm sitting here relaxing, trying to recoup from the jet lag, and all of a sudden, CC texts me. I text her at the same time. Canelo Alvarez, quite frankly, draw pound for pound. You can put him in that list, but just to draw overall entertainment as far as boxing is concerned, becomes a free agent, no longer with Golden Boy Promotions, no longer with DAZN. A huge, huge, shocking message that we're going back and forth trying to negotiate. Canelo obviously unhappy with DAZN and Golden Boy not being able to fill their contract. Dude, you are the man. You cover all this stuff all the time, bro. To me, you are the hardworking reporter in boxing today, and we just wanted to get your info on this, dude, because this is so major. Like, we couldn't talk about it. We had to be in the man, bro. So, I mean, just inform us, dude. What the hell is going on?
Okay, so first of all, you know what's crazy? There's no secrets in boxing. We all know, Ralph. You know, you're an insider. We hear everything 20 steps ahead. We all know what's next. This one was kept under wraps. We knew there were rumblings. We knew there was a lawsuit, but no one expected this to be settled in 10 days. That's a record. For Canelo, he has his own promotion company. He could team up with Al Haymon. He could team up with anyone else. And if he wants the Charlo fight, that can happen. Benavidez. There's a lot of talk of Caleb Plant and Canelo for December 19. Obviously, Canelo wasn't happy. Things were not going. And it's rare that a contract dispute would be solved in this kind of record speed at this level. It usually drags out for a year or two. So whatever they did, they took care of it, and now Canelo's free. And this is equivalent to LeBron James leaving Cleveland for Miami. This is major. This is not a small move. So it brings Canelo back to the forefront because a lot of people, for some reason, started taking him off the pound-for-pound list, which obviously, to me, he's the pound-for-pound king of boxing, the face of boxing.
Right.
So if he has those big mega fights that we all want to see, and I'm sure they're going to happen, he's right back in there. And he's young. He's only 29.
He's still young. I mean, the last time we saw him, he took the light heavyweight strap. So he still has multiple divisions that he can be impactful in. You mentioned that it's like LeBron taking his talents to South Beach. The difference is Canelo is completely a free agent. He doesn't have to sign with anyone. Do you think that he stays an independent, or do you think he's looking at maybe PBC or even Top Rank?
I think he stays independent. Miguel Cotto did the same thing. Miguel Cotto, every fight went to a different promoter. But Canelo could team up. He could line himself up with, let's say, Haymon as an advisor. Or he could do one fight with Top Rank. He's big enough that he doesn't need really a promoter. But he needs to work with people for the big fights. So it could be a fight-by-fight basis. His promotion company, Canelo Alvarez Promotions, was established in 2010. And they've had about 80 fights so far worldwide. They haven't been active in the last few years. But he and Eddie Reynoso put it all together. So if he wants to, he brings it back in. And today you have Errol Spence has his own promotion company, Gervonta Davis. Of course, Mayweather Promotion. Ralph knows about that. So a lot of fighters go in that direction. It's very good for tax purposes, for expenses, and more control of the event, more control of the funds. You're the boss of yourself.
We're going to see, you mentioned he has his own promotion company. A lot of the young fighters do. Tonight, Devin Haney fights. Devin Haney was the youngest boxer to ever have his own promotion company. Where do you see Devin playing in the mix now of this lightweight division?
First, he has to beat Gamboa, which we all think he does. Pretty easy. Gamboa's 39. Gamboa's been through wars with Tank, so Devin should win and win convincingly. And then we want to see him mix him up with the big names, whether it's Tank, whether it's Teofimo, Ryan Garcia. They fought six times in the amateurs, 3-3. So we want to see the big fights. He's 21, so you don't want to rush him too much because what if they rush him and something goes wrong? Then in boxing, Lomachenko loses one fight and he's exposed. But at the same time, I think Devin's ready and he just has to take care of business today. This whole Canelo news actually overshadowed his fight. Because yesterday, no one was talking about a weigh-in or a face-off. And today, wherever people are calling me, the topic is Canelo, Canelo, Canelo. For example, you guys didn't call me to say, hey, let's talk about Devin Haney Gamboa. It was Canelo, the big story. And that is major. So we'll see. But obviously, Canelo's with the zone. Eddie Hearn's in England. He didn't make it to the fight in Miami. So it'll be very interesting to hear what the zone has to say. Because now Golden Boy have to renegotiate their contract with the zone. Canelo is a game changer.
Yeah. And speaking of Devin Haney and speaking of Tank, you and I had a very, very long time. As a matter of fact, it was so long, CC, that I called him 2 days after and I said, dude, are you okay? Are you tired, man? Because me. And it's so weird because Ali's been through the top rank situation with the bubbles. And, you know, I do have to hand it to him. Everywhere I am, this man is there. In San Antonio, I really got to give him some props, man, because this guy, I went down early at 7 o'clock. He was down there working. I went down there at 5 o'clock to get dinner. Ellie was down there working. I mean, not just working, but working. You would think that Ellie, with his numbers being where they're at and his channel being so successful all over the world, that he wouldn't work so hard. But it just makes him even more hungry to work that much harder. And I learned a lot of stuff from him. We speak a lot. I just want you to tell the fans your experience with this. It was longer than usual as far as the bubble's concerned. I mean, you and Tank were like this all week. Nobody gets access to certain fighters like you. And it's not that you're in the face and kissing their ass. It's because they trust you, Ali. They love what you do. And when you report, you don't throw them under the bus. So just briefly, I know you have a lot of stuff going on because every day you are working, brother. Just can you explain the week and how this went down? Because, man, it was, for me, my first time experience. And like I said, I called you 2 days later, bro. And I was asking if you were beat, dude, because like I didn't do much, but I was dead tired. I'm like, if I'm tired, I know my man is tired.
Well, it was a different kind of experience because every day in a bubble, you can't really be out of your room except to go to get something to eat or a specific boxing event, a press conference for 30 minutes, 40, and that's it. So you're in your room 22 hours a day. I haven't been in one room for six straight days, I don't think, in my life, let alone in the last 8 years. So that was different. Then you don't have access to fighters in this situation because, A, it's a pandemic, and B, it's a big fight, it's a pay-per-view, they don't want anything to go wrong. So it was a different kind of experience. Nobody had COVID, which is very rare, because in every other card, there's either a fighter, trainer, or something. So that's why they were so strict. So I understand that. Was it easy? No. It was great to have 9,000 live fans at an event for the first time since March, at least in boxing. I don't think, right? This is the first time?
Yeah, first time. Yeah, first. In the United States, for certain, yeah.
And it was very successful. Ralph was doing the announcing, and in between, he had to put the mask on, mask off, mask on, mask off.
I almost forgot. At one point, I almost forgot to take it off. I'm in there getting ready. I'm like, oh, shit, I got to take my mask off, dude. What's going on?
And I'm going to say about Tank, let me tell you guys a story. It was about 6-7 years ago. Tank's in Vegas at one of the fights. And he comes in the media room like a lot of young fighters do. And none of the media wanted to interview him. We have this thing where people only want to interview Canelo, only want to interview Mayweather, only want to interview Pacquiao.
Yeah.
But if a kid's – yesterday I'm at a gym in Buddy McGurk's gym, and there's a 15-year-old kid who's very talented.
I saw that video. Sick.
Amazing. This kid was sparring Carlos Balderas. Carlos Balderas is almost a championship level, and this kid's great. But I'm thinking most boxing media will not interview this kid because he's not famous yet or he's not a champion yet. So when you meet a kid, you meet a put it like this. Everybody has 2 minutes at their time to interview someone. Don't ever big time someone. So yeah, it may not get you a million of views, but if you want to develop a relationship with people, you got to treat them right from day one. Don't just show up with a camera. Okay, Teofimo, you won a championship. Can I interview you? You have to be there when nobody believed in him. That's the key.
Well, that's how you built your brand, is actually talking to everybody everywhere. And everybody knows reporting. Can you say that again? I can't.
Reporting.
There you go.
But the key is not to go Hollywood, not to let success change you, or not to let, don't be blinded by the numbers. Social media is not real. I can take a picture by a private jet. Doesn't mean it's my jet. So numbers is,
although
cool.
It might be, you might have that jet by now. We don't know.
Nah, don't tell anybody. Everybody thinks I'm a billionaire. It's hilarious wherever I go.
Ali, I want to just kind of touch on the situation with bouts moving forward. If this turns out to be successful, where we have no cases reported, as you said, I was actually shocked at the level of testing, the level of, I mean, CC, we literally had to be checked. We had a bracelet. It was like a dog tag. And if you went out of your room, they scanned you as soon as you got out the elevator. You had to go get tested. They scanned you into the testing system. When you go into the hall to eat, they scanned you. When you left, they scanned you. I mean, it was pure on crazy nonsense. But still, like I said, my man Ali was there. Do you think that in the future, with the success of the card, that we're going to have future shows, not just in Texas, maybe in Nevada? We've been waiting for Las Vegas to open up. We haven't had really any fights with people there in Vegas. What are you hearing from the commission, the people around that state regarding opening up again?
Nevada 5-6 months ago said, if you have no cases, in 2 weeks we'll open up. And they had a case in a boxing event. They said, okay, if you don't have any case, in 2 weeks, we're going to have open up. And every time there were cases. So every time it got postponed. Some states, Florida and Texas, are very lenient. California is the most strict. I saw Mike Tyson move this venue from the StubHub, which was an outdoor venue, to Staples Center.
Yeah.
StubHub would have had fans probably just because it's outdoors.
Yeah.
I mean, but not in November, probably next year, Ralph. I don't think anytime soon. I don't think this year we'll see anything because there's still COVID. There's still a lot of people concerned and there's no vaccine. So in the states where it's easier to do was Georgia, Florida, Atlanta, you could do fights at football stadiums. California, Nevada, probably not yet.
No, and UFC is here, and UFC kind of pioneered the bubble. They buy out hotels. So if you are on a card or if you're covering it, you stay in that hotel, and that's it. You're not. It's changed a little bit, but almost every card, there's a COVID case connected with a UFC card. And so Nevada is definitely, I don't think that you're going to see that change for combat sports. However, there is a UNLV football game today in Raider Stadium or Allegiant Stadium with fans. I think there's 2,000 people in a 65,000 capacity stadium. So it's happening. I know Bob is talking about perhaps having an event here in January with fans as well. So we'll see.
That'll be interesting.
It is very interesting. All right, before we let you go, man, I know you got a lot of stuff going on. For anyone that is looking to get into what you're doing, in the last 2 or 3 years, brother, I've been at these cards and I've seen people that I've never seen before are all up in fighters' face with the camera taking up 10-minute interviews because they just don't know the proper way to get to do it. If someone is trying to get into this business, you're not a hater, dude. What do you recommend? What is the – just a couple of things that you can say, look, if you're looking to get in this business, here's two tips that I'm going to give you to get started.
First, you may be surprised, but I would really recommend them to go get an internship at a news station. Nothing to do with sports, nothing to do with boxing. Just learn etiquette, and you can learn from interning at a newspaper, radio station, TV station. If you're young and you're still in college, you don't cost them money. Everybody will be happy to have you. Of course, now it's COVID, so it's different. But learn how to dress like a professional. Ralph, you guys, when I see you guys at events, you're always professional. You never show up like you're going to a nightclub, or you're never showing up like you just rolled out of bed. Always be professional. Always be polite to everybody. Right. We live in a society where if someone gets a little disrespected, they blow their top and they burn a bridge for life. So be humble. So even if someone, whether it's a staff or another media member, be polite. You're going to win the battle, but you're going to lose the war. And number two, you have to understand, you have to observe first, be around boxing long enough. There's an example right now, and I've heard, for example, I heard there's a crew filming Mike Tyson for his fight, but they haven't been around boxing. It's an entertainment crew. So they're learning on the job boxing etiquette. You have to know when to run and put a camera in a fighter's face, when to give him space. You have to understand, you see the fighter 24 hours, 48 hours before their fight, when they just cut 30, 40 pounds, they're not in a good mood. It may not be the best time to say, to be Chris Hansen and say,
yeah,
have a seat, let's sit down. And if you can't get the best of your interview in 2 or 3 minutes, you're in trouble. There's no need for a 30-minute special. This is not a documentary. It's not Lawrence of Arabia, the longest movie in history. You want to do something long form like that, set up something separate in their gym, in their house, and whatever. But it's a lot of little things. But the key to me is always be professional, always be courteous, always be polite, be normal. People come in and everybody wants a sensational scoop, the sensational video. You may post something that gives you a little buzz, but it could cost you a relationship for the rest of your life. So think before you post, because once it goes up, I'm trying to think of so many examples of, you hear a story about a fighter and the facts are totally different than what you hear. Tank with the gloves. He cheated. Everyone was posting that Gervonta Tank Davis cheated. They're not preview to the knowledge of people in boxing that you get two gloves at the weigh-in, that the opponent signs them, that the commission signs them.
Right.
Once they saw, I had a video of Leo with Tank's gloves and the commission signing off, everybody got quiet. But don't run with something unless you know the facts. That's what I'm saying. If you have experience with the real news outlet and you learn about researching and being fair and balanced and both sides have a story, it will help the sport, but it will help people as individuals be successful. One time a girl came up to me and she said, Ellie, any advice? And I sat down and I said, whatever you do, you're a girl. A lot of people will hit on you. It's normal. It's boxing. So always dress like you work at Wells Fargo. Oh, great. The next day she shows up like she's working at one of the clubs in Vegas. Short term, it's cool because you're going to get a lot of buzz. But long term, if you want to be successful, taken seriously, you have to be more conservative when it comes to that. I don't know.
What do you think? In some ways. So I happen to be a girl, been a girl my whole life on this boxing beat. And on fight nights, I do wear red and I wear what I want to wear. However I'm comfortable. And so I think that as long as you are knowledgeable and you are respectful of the individual that you're interviewing, all that noise of what other people think and how they feel about how you look is irrelevant. Because I'm well-researched. I spend the time getting to know fighters. You'll never see me putting my camera in the face of someone I have zero background on, or like I don't know where they come from. We can't connect because it's just gratuitous at that point, right? Now, you also come from a news background. You've spent your time in other sports in addition to boxing. And so I think people forget that you actually have a long pedigree. Where did you start out specifically?
I started in newspapers. Then I was with the LA Daily News. Then I did radio for a little bit. Then I started CBS, NBC, and Fox, and AOL online. But the thing is, boxing is a free market. 11 a.m. Yeah. NBA press conference, you have the biggest news outlets in the world. 11 a.m. boxing news conference, you're not going to have any mainstream media. You're not going to have any TV or radio. You're going to have a lot of bloggers, and that's okay because they carry the sport. But they don't have the background necessarily. That could help them only to be better reporters.
Yeah.
So it's just different standards. But Ralph, I would recommend people to get internships and learn more journalism. Even go to school for it. But that's a long process. But a 3 month internship is enough to kind of know how to use the tools to help you for the rest of your life.
You at least know, like, oh, he's cutting weight. Let me back up off of him.
No, I learned my lesson with that the very first fight that I announced, because I got, you know, the guy was a friend of mine, Jesus El Martillo Gonzalez, who got to ever beat Andre Ward in any platform. He had his first fight here in Phoenix. That was my first show. I walked up to him, knowing that he looked like a skeleton, was speaking to him like a normal human being, like I normally would, and told me to get the hell out of his face. And I realized that, all right, I'm never getting in somebody's face again like that. And you just learn, you know, as Ali's like from being around, we talk all the time. And CC Ali, he helps me understand what's going on. Like I said, he is a man of knowledge, and he doesn't
absolutely
away from everybody. Like, he does cover the guy that's hasn't even turned pro. He covers a friend of mine, B-Fly, who was like 12 years old, and then he covered him, and still to this day, having professional fights. That's just the way he is. So that now, when these guys turn pro, they know that Ali's already had their back, and that's what I love about them. And that's why I respect them so much. And we appreciate you. I'll let CeCe. Just real quick, CeCe, I'll let you close out. I just want to tell you, Ali, I appreciate you, what you do for me. I appreciate the
thank you.
I appreciate you. CeCe, he let me run his live, man, for like an hour at the airport. It was phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. I even got a super chat, $50 from a fan. He gave us both $50, and it was just super cool, man. So you have fans all over the world. Of course, you have your haters, but you don't let them bother you, man. You just do what you do, and I'm learning from you, and I really appreciate you. And I'll let CeCe close out. But on that note, man, we appreciate
you. Thank you again. And if folks don't know where to find you, where you've been, like if you don't know where to find them, please give your YouTube channel, your Instagram, and wherever we can find you on social media.
Thank you so much. It's ES News everywhere. And Ralph, happy birthday.
Thank you, man.
The $50, wherever we go.
Thank you.
You got it.
Are you going to the Crawford fight? I'm going on Tuesday back up there.
I will be there. I don't know if I'll be there since Tuesday, but I'll be in Vegas for the fight. And I think Crawford wins easy.
I think so too.
Heard it here. Thank you, sir. You have a great rest of your day. Really appreciate you being
Thank you so much. Nice being here. See you guys.
You're reporting. He's a man. And again, you know, very competitive, just like my job. Like the reporting job is very, I mean, you know, it's competitive. They're mad about some people are mad about where they're sitting, who they're sitting next to, how far they are from the octagon or the ring. Like it's really like, why am I a fifth row and they're a third row? That shit to me don't matter. Like I tell people, I'll sit in the back of the arena and walk to the ring to announce. As long as you do your job and do it effectively, the cream rises to the top. And fortunately, you know, we've got, you know, like Sean from Fight Hype and, you know, and Ali, those guys are the top. And I really appreciate what he does for me, man, because he puts my platform out there. Not a lot of people do.
They are outstanding at what they do. You know, I watched Ellie, you know, very early on when I was out there with my camera. Here's the thing, what people understand is boxing is more so like a scrum. And a scrum is basically you get an athlete or individual in front of you and everybody has their camera and mics and you just fire off your questions. Now, that happens more in boxing than any other sport.
Correct.
UFC does not allow that.
He just meant he, you know, and he's not going to throw people under the bus, but I'm going to tell you as a friend of his, it's really disappointing to him that he will land the athlete because of his relationship with the athlete. And then he's and there's nine people behind him. And then they use that video for that. It sucks for him because you develop a 20-year relationship with fighters. You get all of a sudden they see Ali. Oh yeah, it's Ali. I'll give him the interview, and yet you have the other people behind them that
everybody gravitates. Like there's no branded content; it belongs to the scrum. But I've watched Ellie, I've watched Marcos Vegas, and also Cynthia Conti, and they all move differently. So Cynthia will be in the scrum, but you'll also see her finding her spots in the room to have the one-on-ones. Ellie's in the gym. He's in the gym with the fight. In fact, like he's probably going to be in a gym in the next hour or so.
That's what he was. That's why he's like, we got 20 minutes. And I got to hit the gym. Like the dude wakes up and I said, dude, what's your plan? Like, what is your plan of attack? He said, I wake up, I get in my car and wherever my car takes me, I'll go to a gym an hour away. If I'm there for 15 minutes, I'm there for 15 minutes. Sometimes I walk into a gym and I'm there the whole day because there's so many in there, or there's good content, or Robert Garcia's, you know, saying crazy shit, or whatever the case may be. Like the dude just goes with the flow, and he's able to just manipulate in and out his time for the good of his day, not wasting any time, and it's just pretty phenomenal.
Mad respect to him. Mad respect to actually anybody who's covering combat sports. It's a different kind of beat. I'm doing it in 6-inch heels most of the time. Today, you can see actually how not tall I am because I'm leaning on this chair. This chair almost the same height as me.
Oh, you're standing up. Okay. I just noticed that right now. I thought you were leaning on something else.
I'm standing up flat-footed. You know, I like to do these interviews standing. And so I didn't realize the chair was this close. Normally I wouldn't, but you know, this is what we do. It's been a different kind of day. We all woke up to like some different kind of news. We have a new president of the United States, a president-elect. There's a lot of work to do. But before we get to January, we got a big fight tonight. So let's talk about, well, first let's talk about Tank in his performance and Leo, because I didn't see the fight. I've seen clips. And from what I understand, it was competitive until the knockout happened. What did you see?
Leo Santa Cruz had a game plan. You know, and Tank, I do say this about Tank, is that he is a good defensive fighter, but it's like Tyson, right? Tyson was able to take some punches in order for him to get on the inside and demolish you. That is what Tank does. Tank does get hit. As a matter of fact, he was showing off that black eye a few days later, but that's just what he does. He gets inside. And then he thoroughly, with his uppercuts and his hooks, demolishes you. Tank is a bigger dude just naturally. Like, yeah, Leo is taller, and at the weigh-in, they did look, you know, a little lopsided. Even myself, I was like, man, Leo's a bigger fighter. But then you look at, like, the girth of the fighter, and Tank is just like
– he's naturally
big. He's like a tank, right? Yeah. You know, in Spanish, they call the little skinny kids Wilos because they're – you know, and that's Leo Santa Cruz. That's his body frame. But Tank really just towards the fourth and fifth round started to overpower him, started to get inside. His shots were hurting more. And look, when you throw three straight right hands, you know, bound to be a little bit of, okay, there's one, there's another one. If he throws it again, I'm going to get him. Up.
Timed it.
Done. You know? And maybe it was a mistake, but man, he was fighting really well. To say Leo Santa Cruz did not fight a good fight is absolutely ridiculous. He was fighting a good fight. He won the first couple of rounds, in my opinion. Tank, after the third round, started figuring out that he can get inside, that his punches weren't going to knock him out, so to speak. And they took advantage of the situation. So,
well, you had been in the gym a few times with Tank, and a lot of people are talking about how the uppercut was timed. He worked on it, though.
They do.
It didn't just happen.
Yeah, they work on the slip a lot. They work on that almost every time that I'm there. As a matter of fact, it was funny that Coach Calvin was like laughing about that after the fact. He says, because he goes, I make this boy work on that all the time. You know, he doesn't have a long reach. He's a smaller fighter. So the only way he's going to be effective is not by jabbing and staying away. He's got to get inside, attack the body, attack up top with the hooks, and those uppercuts are just lethal. I mean, that shot changes careers. And I hope that Leo comes back and he's able to keep fighting. I mean, look, he's a great dude. Leo Santa Cruz is a great guy. He's so good. In fact, that, you know, Leonard Ellerbe is sitting there taking pictures with him. I took pictures with him because how can you hate a guy like that? I mean, he's good. You cannot hate a dude like that. Very respectful for the Mayweather camps. He ate lunch down there, breakfast. He was down there mingling with everybody in the bubble. You know, we were able to, the one great thing about this bubble for me was that I got to mingle with these guys. I got to have lunch and dinner with and breakfast with Jimmy Lennon like seven times. And, you know, it's crazy. Like, and people kind of laugh at me because I'm 42 years old and I say that he's my hero, but he really is. And for me to sit down and be able to talk to him and just shoot the shit with him, see how his family's doing, see how he's doing. You know, we didn't get into politics, obviously, because that's a kind of a no-no when you're in those circles. But, you know, he was just happy that he was there. We were all just happy for working. I mean, I said the last Showbox Showtime card that we did together was in February. I mean, damn, that's seems like such a long time ago with the pandemic. But, you know, Steven Espinosa was down there. Chris de Blasio, who works extremely hard for Showtime Boxing. All the teams were together. I mean, you had Tank on one table and Leo right on the other table eating breakfast. I mean, it was just everybody was just so close, protecting and taking care of each other. And I think, not to go on a tangent, but this is what the country needs to do now. You know, we need to stop fighting and stop being on one side, come together, because if we don't, we're going to be fractured forever. So it was really cool situation. I think Tank was ready.
Yeah, he was. He was absolutely well prepared.
He didn't even like struggle with the weight. I mean, he took his draws down for no reason. He was like, he just kind of forced a habit, right? I mean, it's like, I got to take these down because I don't know where I'm at. But I mean, he worked his ass off 13, 14 week camp. Mm-hmm. And he's ready. And as a matter of fact, he loved the camp so much that he's thinking about moving to Vegas permanently.
Well, it would be a good move. It'd be a smart business move for him to continue by osmosis, even to stay in close proximity with Floyd. It has worked for him. We do have Devin Haney tonight. I expect him to beat Gamboa. Haney's coming off a very long layoff, also the shoulder injury. You also have Teofimo Lopez in there. And Shakira Stevenson might have something to say when it's all said and done as well.
Yeah.
There is a stable of young lions ready to enter 2021 with fireworks. Who? What other names do you see that should be mentioned in the mix?
Look, I think that if anything, Ryan Garcia and Tank is probably the fight that we will see next, because it's just logical. They're both two young lions. You put those two guys together next, and I'm telling you, the pay-per-view numbers are going to be absolutely ridiculous. And it's a fight that, not to bash any promotional company, but Oscar De La Hoya now losing Canelo may need to do a huge showing as far as the next show. Ryan Garcia is his next in-line cash cow, so to speak, as far as
pop. He's it. Next. That's all he got.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you throw him in there with Tank, and if he happens to do some damage or looks good, then you've got you've got a star still, regardless. I mean, remember, the UFC and boxing fans, the only thing that they have in common is that if you give a good showing, they don't give a damn how many losses you have. They will pay as long as they have a smile walking out of that arena. And that's the only really thing about fans that they have in common, is that you bust your ass in there and give it your all, and people will pay whatever money to go see you again, because it makes them feel good when they walk out of the arena. Yeah, I think Ryan Garcia Tank is probably the
next one
fight that we'll see. I would love to see that. Awesome.
I mean, that makes sense. Jeremy and I had Vinny Paz on the show on Wednesday, and he was talking about the importance of being the fighter who can actually put asses in the seats and eyeballs in front of the television. And yeah, I think those two make sense. But I also wouldn't count out Teofimo Lopez in this whole thing as well. But he's injured. He's got to deal with the surgery and a couple of other things. But I would put his name in there as very possible as well.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you saw the video with he and Rolly the other day, but you know,
come on, man, like that was that was a lot.
Hey,
but he's it is a champ, what it is, right?
And let me tell you something about that, because obviously, you know, he's a champ, and Rolly's, you know, there as well, and he's a friend, and
But boxing is better when there's beef. It's not a gentleman's sport. They are not fencing. They are fighting.
That is correct.
It's better when there's beef. There are times when it completely crosses the line into something beyond disrespectful and becomes repugnant. However, I like some beef, especially if they're youngins.
I do too. And we tend to forget too that Bob Arum is the king of this shit, because people don't realize how many fighters fought against each other in the stable. Now, granted, he did it to keep the belts in his house. I understand that. But at the same time, there were so many interactions between their fighters fighting each other. I mean, you had cards a few years ago where the top rank, the last three or four fights were all world titles, and they were all their fighters fighting each other. That's just the way he does it. And, you know, if Mayweather Promotions keeps growing and keep getting these fighters, you never know. We may see a Rolly versus Tank one day, or we may see, you know, the fighters going at each other, because at the end of the day, even though they are in the same promotional house, you put them in a barrel, man. It's like crabs in a barrel.
Well, they're fighters. Look at PBC, got a whole stable of welterweights fighting each other. Yeah. So, yeah, it's happening. Hey, it's a lot happening. Y'all watch the fights tonight. I think it's just, I don't know who's on that undercard, but
what's your prediction? What's your prediction on that?
I think Devin takes it. Devin Haney is a big, young, strong, skilled boxer. Gamboa perhaps 4 years ago would make this a lot more competitive than I believe it's going to be tonight. But Devin's going to work for it. He's going to have to work for it. There will be some ring rust, but the kid has got great defense, and I think he takes it.
I think he's going to win as well. I think he's going to put a lot of pressure on himself to look good because obviously Tank, you know, win a few rounds with him. So
you check the box.
He's going to try to come out and make a statement. I just, you know, and I'm not hating on the kid, but he got elevated so fast, and I just need to see more of him. I saw him on Showbox a couple of years ago, kind of struggled there. Didn't really look too good in his last fight, to be perfectly honest with you. Again, he's going to be off a while for, obviously because of the pandemic. I'm not hating on the kid. He's got skills. He lives in Vegas. He's there at the Man with the Gym quite a bit. I want to see what he looks like. Let's go.
Yeah, he's got access to great boxing minds and trainers. But I look at what T.O. did in the fight before Lomachenko, and he did not look good. Didn't look good.
Yeah, and absolutely. And that's the thing.
Look at what happened with Lomo.
So we'll see. I'll be glued to it for sure. And we'll see what happens. And we're going to get back here next week, and maybe we'll have a lot to talk about. We'll see.
Again, I hope so.
At 130 and 135 is so stacked right now at both of those divisions. Even at 140, if Teofimo decides to move up to 140, man, that's going to be a great division as well. Anything from 130 to 147 is where the money's at. It's almost like, you know, the heavyweights have kind of been forgotten about. We'll talk Friday about this Deontay Wilder thing, because that's almost a whole segment in and of itself. Really disappointed in that. Really disappointed in what I'm hearing. We're going to have to talk about that because it's very unfortunate. I mean, you're the king of that division for quite a while, and to fall off of grace like that, that's a whole segment of itself. We can't spend 2 minutes on that because it's a lot more to talk about, obviously.
It's a lot. All right. So, hey, for Levels, we are here on Wednesdays and Fridays usually, but you might catch us on different days of the week. I'm Cassandra Cousineau, your girl, the Sportsnista. This is my partner in time, Ramblin' Ralph Velez. Y'all have a great rest of your day and certainly have a good weekend. Be safe, wear your mask, and take care of one another.
Bye. Go Devils. Let's go.